Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault. Mayor, first of all, before we get into our discussion, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Where are you?
I'm in the hospital.
Still okay. We didn't know if you had been released like first thing early this morning, but you're still there.
No. I've got a couple of more treatments. I should get out. I should bust out of this joint after lunch.
Well, you sound great. You sound better than, frankly, the last time we spoke to you. So
definitely.
I'm feeling a lot better than the last time I spoke to you.
Good.
Well, Mayor, nobody's been a bigger proponent for downtown Shreveport than me for the past several years. I love downtown. I still love downtown to this day. But after Friday night, it's hard to defend. Something has to.
Well, we agree. Actually, we had a task force plan. These incidents tend to occur around holidays. And so last Monday, I had asked Chief Smith to come up with a specific plan for this weekend. Some of the violence cropped up in places that we didn't anticipate, but we had a very strong police presence in downtown and at that time. So it was just one of those things that it's an unfortunate incident, and we're going to look at what we can do. These things tend to occur after 2 o'clock. So one of the things that we need to look at is whether or not it's time to move back to closing of.
You say police were there. On the video, there's very, I didn't see them. Were they moving in that direction? Were they on foot?
Well, they were about a block away when the melee started.
Okay.
And obviously, you're looking at video that's taken in real time before anyone has a chance to know what it is. So,
and it's 5 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we have anybody in custody? Are we making arrests? What is the plan with regard to those who we obviously know committed crimes?
Well, knowing that there were crimes committed and knowing who committed those crimes are two different things. And so they are under investigation. I do not know whether we made any arrests overnight Friday night.
I spoke with somebody, I think a former city councilman. I mean, my phone went ballistic, as I'm sure yours did, who said exactly what you just said. Keeping the bars open until 6 a.m. was probably a mistake. How quickly can we make that change back to the 2 a.m. like you just suggested?
Well, that takes council action, and so that may be something that we really need to look at. These things do tend to happen. What appears to occur, of course, this is anecdotal. I don't have statistical evidence, but what appears to occur is that people are out in other places, and then when those places close, they congregate in downtown Shreveport because it's still open for business. And it may be time to reconsider that and to roll that back to 2 a.m.
A lot of those folks, and again, at our age, it's hard to determine, but they looked very young. A lot of them looked like teenagers. What are these folks even doing out that time of day?
Well, of course, the difficulty with it, obviously, we have a curfew, and anybody who was under the age for the curfew was in violation of it. It is very difficult to check the difference between a 19-year-old and a 16-year-old.
Sure.
To have real problems about it. So normally, most of the time, the curfew violations are something that's added on unless there's some additional cause to determine the age of a person.
Well, and Mary, as you know, some of these 15-year-olds look 26. So,
well, they did. That's the problem, and mm-hmm. that is the issue. And some of the 19-year-olds look 15. So, I happen to have fallen into the latter category when I was growing up. But there are certainly people who look younger than they are, or who look older than they are.
Mayor, several weeks ago, talking with Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault, Governor Landry talked about sending the National Guard into New Orleans, talked about into Baton Rouge and into Shreveport. And at the time, I was saying, yes, of course, into New Orleans, maybe Baton Rouge. I'm not familiar, but we don't need it in Shreveport. We're okay. Well, you know what? I'm changing my tune. We're not okay. We need all the help we can get.
Well, we do need the help that we can get. The question is, what's the right help? And that's still the question that we need to ask. My guess is that the National Guard would not have been patrolling during that time, so I'm not sure that having the National Guard here would or would not have prevented.
Well, maybe they need to be patrolling at that time.
Well, we're still discussing that with the Adjutant General, and we'll see what we can do about it.
Were you privy to the statement that was issued by police that said, and I'm quoting part of it, Friday nights are among our busiest times, with multiple events taking place across the city, including several high school football games, the state fair, and other activities throughout the downtown district, and we have a shortage of staff, et cetera. Were you part of that statement? Did that get passed by you before it was sent out?
Well, first of all, it was not a statement. As I appreciate it, it was a remark to a reporter.
Okay.
And the entire remark was not printed. And no, I was not privy to it and did not approve it ahead of time. And in fact, a lot of it, given the context of it, was inaccurate.
Okay.
We did have a serious police presence in downtown Shreveport Friday night.
Okay. Reese, the statement says, and this is from KSLA, resources are stretched thin. How thin? Is it to a critical level now?
No, I don't. I really don't think so. You may remember when we've had this issue with downtown a couple of years ago. Mostly it manifested itself around the noise ordinance. But we, for a period of time, assigned people downtown on a regular basis because of crowds like this, and now looks like an appropriate time for us to consider reinstituting those activities to cut down on it, and ultimately the noise stopped. But now with these holidays, like I say, you almost can predict that around holidays, and this was Halloween Friday night, you can almost predict that there's going to be a large crowd congregating, and we did anticipate to have an increased police presence to deal with it.
Will you have an official statement? Will something be sent out today that will send a strong message that we won't tolerate this anymore?
I have staff working on that as we speak.
A message from one of our listeners says that you obviously probably know that this is impacting attendance at our festivals, bookings at wedding venues, the aquarium, Cyport, et cetera. That has to be a concern for you as the mayor of the city.
It is a concern. It for most of those events, it really is not a threat, but that doesn't change the perception. Most of these things, like I say, occur at 3 o'clock in the morning, and most of those events are not happening during 3 o'clock in the morning.
But don't you think there are people, and I'll give myself as an example, in the evening, I'm not at a festival in downtown Shreveport right now for fear that there'll be a crowd, that somebody might get thrown into my car. I mean, just for little things that probably won't happen. But I have that concern in the back of my mind, so I'm like, I'll go over to the East Bank in Bossier and do something.
That's why it's necessary to have the additional police presence and let people know that we're paying particular attention to downtown and the festival area.
But in addition to police presence, Mayor, we've got to keep these criminals that have been convicted off of the streets. We've got to keep them in jail.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
Preaching to the choir on that, probably, huh?
Well, beyond my pay scale, I'm afraid.
I understand.
That's
it's just judges, frustrating.
Judges and prosecutors, and you have to address those questions to them.
Do the business owners who do stay open that late, do they have some part to play in this? In that they may be having promotions that may be promoting, risque behavior. Let's just leave it at that.
I really don't know. I'm not usually down there at that hour to know whether this is simply people gathering. I do know that, for example, underage people can't get in the establishments because they're too young. And the question is whether it does create an atmosphere. And all of the incidents that happened Friday night or early Saturday morning, rather, all of those happened on public property. They didn't happen in any particular establishment. And obviously, as you know from listening to some of the establishment owners, they take the position that once they're outside of once people are outside of their establishment, it's a city problem, not their problem.
Mayor, we know that there are real-time crime center cameras downtown. When you see incidents like this beginning, when you start to see 10, 15, now 20, 30 people and more begin to gather on the sidewalk in the middle of the street, can you not go, guys, either inside or leave the area? Clear it out. We're not hanging out on the corners. Can you clear out those areas?
Well, first of all, if they're in the street, we can. If they're on the sidewalk, we really can't. Sidewalk is a public space.
And if they're not violating the law, they're okay to be there.
So there's loitering law that we can enact going, look, you can't just stand here on the corner, either participate in a business or go someplace else.
That's correct.
Absolutely. That's constitutional rights.
That's one of the things that leads me to believe that at some point we may want to, for lack of a better term, privatize the entertainment district so that things like metal detectors and those kind of things could be in effect. Now, that wouldn't have affected Friday night, but we need to take whatever steps we can to make sure that people know that we are paying careful attention to safety, particularly downtown.
Marching orders for the SPD and the chief for this weekend. And is anything changing? What are you telling him?
Well, I'm going to be asking him to put the kind of effort in that we did when we had the noise ordinance problem. I will say that it isn't an every weekend occurrence, and this was a holiday. And that's why we anticipated and moved forward with it. But we've got some other holidays coming up, and we need to make sure that we are securing the downtown as best we can.
Mm-hmm. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault. Mayor, thank you so much. We're looking forward to you getting out. I know you are of the hospital, of course, and we will talk with you soon.
Very good. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, I can tell you, YouTube TV and ESPN, Disney, ABC better get their schnizzle together.
Oh, you're still without it? Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm without any of the Disney properties.
It's not good.
Which I realized, I was out of town over the weekend, so it didn't really affect me. Plus, LSU didn't play.
Right. Could be a problem this weekend, though, if there's some games you want to watch, because you won't have the ABC networks.
I couldn't even watch game day.
They say that if it goes on prolonged, they're going to give you a credit on your bill, but, I don't know how much that's going to be.
I think a $20 credit.
Yeah, so would it be enough for you to switch to a different service?
Yeah.
I mean, if it goes too long, you say, I got to have
forget
this.
Forget it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not beholden to any.
And I think Disney and ABC know that, so they need to reach a deal quick. Otherwise, you're going to move from YouTube to somewhere else.
Right.
And YouTube knows that, too, so they're going to try to reach an agreement, or otherwise they're going to lose customers.
I think she has, like, Hulu with live TV.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a text while we're talking about it.
ABC and ESPN are back up. It's back up, so maybe it just happened. So you have to check it. Can you check it online? Check it on your phone when you get a minute.
Oh, that's funny.
Interesting. Says they watched KTBS 3 this morning on their YouTube channel.
Okay.
So. Okay, good to know.
Well, there you go.
Instant messaging. Yeah.
I wish I'd win the Powerball. I'd like to win the Powerball.
$800 million tonight, my man. Ooh.
Which one is that? The
Mega Millions.
Mega Millions.
Mega Millions, and it's a monster. It's a monster. Golly.
Of course, you have to play to win. Since
I play. Yeah. In fact, I got the ticket on my dash. I've got, you know, the little ledge, and I'm going to go play the same numbers again today and flush the money down the, I mean, win the big prize.
There you go. Yeah. How much is it if you want to just buy one ticket? Like the one for the Powerball or Mega Millions?
Mega Millions is $5 for one set of numbers.
Oh, okay.
Powerball's $2 for one set of numbers.
Oh.
So, like, I've got a five-number ticket on Mega Millions, and that's $25 a pop. So.
We spoke with business owner Tim Huck about the brawl on Friday night.
Oh, he's fired up.
He was not happy.
Oh, boy.
Understandably so. Mm-hmm. And hear what he's got to say after the news, bottom of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
By the way, it was an errant text. ABC Disney is not back on YouTube TV. Just, you can get the local affiliate, local broadcast, ABC or Channel 3. So, still waiting. Tim Huck joins us coming up just after the break, talking about the brawl. He's not happy. Local business owner downtown. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710KEEL.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
We've been talking about this brawl on Halloween night in downtown Shreveport. Dozens of people in the middle of the street just acting absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
No police presence for at least 5 minutes.
At least, yeah.
Because this video was real time that has been posted on social media. We got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board that says, when my pool league plays at the sandbar, my wife and I won't go. We won't go downtown.
Mm.
So it's affecting local businesses.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Owner of said sandbar, Tim Huck, on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Tim, how do you respond to this?
Well, you know, it's obviously, you've seen me on city council, you've heard me on here and multiple other places screaming at the top of my lungs, what are we doing? Why are we not doing anything? You know, I hate to be the guy, but, you know, I place it right in the mayor's lap. I place it right in the city council's lap. I place it right in the police chief's lap. And it's ludicrous. I told the police officers, I told the sergeant over downtown, I informed everyone that Halloween, or the night that Halloween is celebrated in the bars, is the second biggest night of the year in Shreveport. The second biggest bar night of the year in Shreveport. And then you underschedule, and then they keep talking how we're short police officers. But Saturday night, we got 17 cops downtown. They're responsive, they're reactive instead of proactive. They do no proactive policing in Shreveport.
The mayor said they were down there.
Mayor said there was a strong presence downtown.
Okay, well, the mayor lies on a regular basis. If only lying if he's typing, talking, or texting. Or writing. There was not a strong police presence downtown. There was a police presence downtown, but it wasn't strong. And they sent out a whole press release that said 50's partner, Shalette Holden, and the DDA and the police chief and all, we are going to pick hot spots and we're going to make sure there's officers down there. You remember that press release on March 31st?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've seen personally probably 15 or 20 videos in that same exact location as the video from Friday night. In hotspots, is there a hotter spot in downtown Shreveport?
Mm-mm. He also said, the mayor this morning said on our radio station that it might be time to look back at closing the bars at 2 a.m., that maybe letting them stay open until 6 a.m. was a mistake. You're a bar owner. How do you respond to that?
Well, vacant buildings downtown, when he's got a ton of vacant buildings, he'll see
that. Maybe it's time for the police department to actually do their job. Every time they're like, well, let's just look at this, let's just look at that. You know, a city who can't pay their bills now, let's go ahead and close a whole lot of buildings and create no value on the properties. Because that's what you're going to see is a ton of vacant buildings.
You would close if you couldn't stay open till 6? You would close your businesses down?
You would see almost all the buildings down there would do that.
Because you make almost a ton of money. You make a ton of money for that late night, from that late night crowd. Is that true?
All of them make money. Are we going to close the casinos early? I mean, there was a reason for them moving this time. If they would take, I do believe that Tom may have even been on the council when it first happened. I'm pretty sure he was actually on the council when it first happened. There was
Does it go that far back?
I think so.
So what would Tim Huck have done for Tuesday of last week? What would the Tim Huck plan have been for Friday night?
Well, first, the officers would be positioned in places. Again, they put a whole press release. We're going to identify hot spots. Well, every single time I've ever seen a confrontation and a problem, it's been on that corner. So hot spot, why would I not have officers stationed at that particular corner, first of all? Secondly is, enforce the law. Enforce the law from the first minute that the officers get downtown. Open container. If you're walking around with a bottle of liquor in your hand, you get in a ticket. You're going to jail. Zero tolerance enforcement.
But we
Zero
have open container in the Red River District, but it stops once you get to Spring Street, I guess?
Yes, but the open container in the Red River District is limited to drinks purchased in the Red River District. There's only three places open in the Red River District. So if you're walking around carrying a bottle of liquor in your hand, you didn't purchase it in the Red River District because they only serve it by the drink. Okay?
Right.
So if you're walking around carrying a bottle in your hand, you don't have, it's not unlimited open container. It's limited to the establishments in the district. However, nobody enforces it.
Tim, what do you think about Governor Landry's proposal to bring the National Guard to Shreveport?
I don't think it's necessary.
I didn't before, but I do now.
Well, again, if you would enforce the laws on the books before it gets out of hand, we don't have enough police officers to be reactive policing. We have to do proactive policing. It's very, the concept is so simple. It's asinine that they don't listen to it. It's crazy to me. It's literally, we just wait and we become reactive. The police chief was downtown Saturday night. Why are we downtown Saturday night?
What is the responsibility of you guys as bar owners to make sure your crowd doesn't spill out into the street and then cause a problem? I'm not saying it's your bar that's doing it, but any bar that's doing it.
Well, you can watch the videos, and it'll tell you it wasn't. But to me, when there's a confrontation, we call the police right away. But the first responsibility we have going on in this is capacity. The fire marshal gives a legal capacity. No one comes out and checks it. So if they would start doing that, you would probably have less spilling out into the street. But when there's literally confrontations in front of your building, that full brawls in front of your building, your security, you have to call the cops. And some of these owners will not call the cops.
Are some of these teenagers, are some of these young people just hanging out for a night of fun?
Absolutely. Some of these people are never going into a bar. If you remember the noise ordinance when I was screaming about that?
Yep.
The number of people in the streets who are not patronizing any establishment, they're just running around.
Mm-hmm. And some of them causing trouble. Do you anticipate anybody will be charged in connection with the Halloween night melee?
Well, I don't know if the gentleman on the ground that was kicked in the head went to the hospital or not, so I don't know if he's been identified. If he's been identified, I'll figure that at least the guy in the blue suit that kicked him in the head will be
Well, there were several that kicked him in the head, including a woman.
Yeah. The one did the absolute most damage of it. But, you know, if he went to the hospital, if he's identified, I believe they probably, you know, the videos are too good, too many. But, again, you had the cameras down there. Who's watching the real-time crime center video?
Yeah.
That was my question earlier. Mm-hmm. It was 4 minutes. This is a real-time, unedited video. It was 4 minutes before the first police. Long time.
Right. And the officers were, there were officers on Commerce Street. So there were officers less than two blocks from there.
Wow. Tim Huck, the owner of the Sandbar, other establishments in our community. I just got the city council is calling an emergency meeting for tomorrow. This will obviously be the top priority in that meeting. I'm sure you will probably want to be there.
Oh, I will definitely be there.
Tim, thanks for your time, sir.
Hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tim Huck, business owner, downtown Shreveport, Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, a special called city council meeting today. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming 3 o'clock, isn't that?
No, 10 o'clock this morning.
Oh, 10 o'clock this morning.
Yep, calling them all in early.
Wow. Okay.
Get the business done, and what do they do?
So what? Okay, that... You were reading my feeble little mind.
What does Martindale
what do? What do you do?
Do you introduce an ordinance to roll back the bar hours?
A, yes.
Immediately.
I would find some loitering law. I disagree with Mayor Arsenault to say there's nothing you can do when you've got 30, 50, 60, 80 people gathering on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Not going into any businesses, not... There's nothing good going to happen from this.
If it's 2 in the morning,
at 2, 3 in the morning,
what's to stop a police officer from going through the crowd and going, show me your ID? There's a curfew.
Right.
And if you're under a certain age, you're not allowed to be here, period. Go home. But, again, when you've got a call for a burglary at your house in your part of town and you've got an officer going through a crowd asking for people's IDs... What's more important at that point? What do police go to when they're short? I saw a report last night. They're short 150 officers. We got to solve that. We got to make people want to come work for SPD.
Well, Chief Smith would go, okay, what's your solution? Tell me how to solve it.
Higher pay. Number one, starting off.
Well,
we need to have the highest paid police officers.
Where's that money
officers.
Coming from?
Well,
why,
you're going to have to find it.
Obviously, that's the answer. Why haven't we done it?
You're going to have to find a way to make that your number one priority. Immediately, they should be talking about that today in this meeting. Immediately find a way to increase police pay.
Well, we also need to do what New Orleans did and get state troopers.
Yes.
To augment our police in downtown on the weekends. And I think that may be a proposal.
Stephen Jackson, state rep, he sent the governor a proposal yesterday saying we need state troopers, we need help. Immediately in downtown Shreveport, because things have gotten out of control. And when you lose downtown, you lost. Oh, you've lost the battle.
If people think downtown isn't important, you're mistaken.
We don't have much time. I think about this all the time. I thought about it driving home. Okay, so you get them out of downtown. Where is it going to be next? Ford Park? Clyde Fant Park? They move. They find another place where they congregate and do stupid stuff. We got to find out why people are doing stupid stuff and stop that. Otherwise, it's on the Clyde Fant Parkway at the Frisbee Golf Course. It's at Ford Park. It's who knows where next. And police, they're chasing their tail. They end up just chasing their tail for these savages who don't know how to behave.
We've got Alvin Oliver going to join us coming up after the news top of the hour to discuss this.
He's president of the NAACP.
Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com. Keel, and on the free Keel app, Mike and McCarty. on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline this morning. President of the local NAACP, Alvin Oliver, joining us. Alvin, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Thanks for jumping on here on the line with us this morning. We're, of course, talking about the violence and the brawl that took place in downtown Shreveport Friday night, Halloween night, early into Saturday morning. Alvin, obviously, everybody agrees this has got to stop. What can police do?
Well, Mike, let me start off by saying this. I want to be clear about this, and I don't care who owns a club or anything else downtown, but I want to preface my commentary by saying no friendships, no business connections, or position of influence should outweigh the community safety. Let's start there. My question about the police is...
And I don't disagree with you at all on mm-hmm. that.
Absolutely. You say that police were present. Well, where were they? I didn't see them on the videos at all.
No, and that's what I asked the mayor, because that video that's posted was over 4 minutes of real-time unedited video. And
absolutely.
That was a long time for police response, especially if they were already posted downtown.
Absolutely. And so we spend millions of dollars, you know, as you know, we've had the police chief on our show. We've had the mayor on our show. And we talk about how they've spent millions of dollars on the real-time crime center cameras. Well, my question would be, why aren't the real-time crime center cameras located in the same exact block of these clubs? Let me remind you all of something. I don't know if you remember this, Mike and Aaron, but back in 2019, if you remember, three people were shot. Two people were killed right there in front of the Royalty Bar. It was a friend of mine's son, Legereus Baines. The young man was shot in the head. He turned around. He died. Chasmin Walters, she was shot in the neck. She died. And another unnamed person was also shot right there in 2019 in the second week of June in front of the Royalty Bar. And so here we are a few years later, and the question needs to be asked, what's changed? Has it gotten better?
Alvin, no. let me interrupt you and say, we all want police to do better. We want the real-time crime center folks to monitor this closely. But the folks that are doing this, that I think you used the word savages, perhaps I'm wrong, they got to stop this kind of behavior. We cannot tolerate this kind of behavior. And how do you stop that? That's the big question.
Well, and to answer that, let me say this. You know, we've heard so many people say we don't need the National Guard in here, right? And to some degree, I agree. But we can't. The way we can use the National Guard is we use them in areas to free up police where there's less crime. If we use the National Guard to post them in locations where there's not much crime, we free up police to put them downtown or in areas where there is a lot of
crime. But you know, just like I do, Alvin, that if you put a ton of cops downtown and you keep watching this area, the folks that want to act out and do this stupid behavior, they will move to the Stoner area on the Clive Fant Parkway. They'll move to Ford
Absolutely.
Park. They will find a place.
Yeah.
We got to stop this behavior somehow.
We definitely got to stop the behavior. And I must say this. I don't want to offend any of our leadership. But, hey, I have to tell the truth. If you folks can't get the job done, and that means the mayor, the police chief, the DDA, whomever, listen, you need to put a fresh set of eyes and a fresh set of legs on this thing, and y'all go on to the house, and let's put some people in these positions who can get this job done. Because the bottom line is, not only are the citizens being afraid to be downtown, what about our stakeholders?
Mm-hmm.
Clubs are weekend venues, right? Clubs aren't the main stakeholders of downtown.
No.
We got to think about the long-term stakeholders of downtown who are being scared away, who are being frightened away. I won't go downtown on the weekends
Me
anymore.
Either.
And here's one of my biggest questions. Everybody talks about 50 Cent coming to town. Well, 50 Cent is probably one of the biggest stakeholders now of downtown. Mm-hmm. Do you all think 50 Cent would appreciate what's going on? I'd venture to say he wouldn't.
So what do you think about the idea that the bars downtown need to now start closing at 2 a.m.? The mayor mentioned that. Others have mentioned it. What do you think about that?
Totally 100% agree. Why are you out beyond 2 a.m. anyway? There's nothing there's nothing that should be going on after 2 a.m. other than some sleep. And so I definitely agree with closing these places. And also, I heard Tim Huck on, I think, yesterday, and he talked about the fire marshal. And so there's a capacity limit to this place. So what's going on with the capacity? And as you all know, it was just 2 weeks ago now that my niece got knocked out up under the bridge. And so, by some guy. And so I'm not holding club owners responsible for that. Some of them feel that once you get outside of their club, that releases you from liability. Listen, you have a responsibility not only inside your club, but outside your club and to a certain perimeter around your club. You have a responsibility to the safety of the people that frequent your club and the people that's outside your club. And so we need more accountability from our city council. I'm going to be there this morning to hear what they're going to say. I want to know what the DDA is going to say.
Cedric Glover's going to join us after 8 o'clock this morning.
Well, wonderful news. I like to hear what the former mayor is going to say about it. And more importantly, I want to know what's going to be done about it. We've done enough talking. We've done enough talking. And since 2019, since those folks were killed in front of that same place, what's been done downtown to make downtown better? As I see it, downtown is not getting better. It's getting more dangerous.
We're talking with Alvin Oliver, NAACP president in Shreveport. Alvin, I agree with everything you're saying, sure. But what do officials do? We say we've got to do something. What are your suggestions to change this behavior?
Well, like you just said, first of all, let's start holding club owners accountable. Let's start being more transparent, city council members. Let's be more transparent. Let's hold club owners accountable. Let's hold our police accountable. Let's get these police in place. Let's hold these, as we say, savages accountable. Because if you out here kicking somebody upside their head like you punting a football, to me, you are a savage. And you should be locked up and arrested immediately. And the more sad part about it, you see women out here kicking people. Mm-hmm. You know, this is ridiculousness. This is lawlessness. And we need to stop it. And we need to stop it right now. If this were somebody like a Tim Huck or some of the other club owners downtown, this stuff would not be going on. So I go back to my first statement. Friendships, business connections, positions of influence should not outweigh the safety of the citizens of Shreveport.
Should these club owners that these crowds are gathering in front of, should they be facing fines?
Repeat that question to me.
Should these club owners where the crowds are gathering in front and these fights are happening, should these clubs be facing fines?
Absolutely, they should face fines and they should face some type of sanction because if you don't do something, if you don't give them a fine, if you don't give them a sanction, what's the motivation for them to make it better for the people?
Interesting. Should be a good meeting today. We're looking forward to seeing what the council's going to do. I worry that, yeah, you can do everything you want for downtown. Crowd's just going to move somewhere else. You're chasing your tail.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do. Is it going to be more rhetoric, or are we going to actually see something being done this time around? Mm-hmm. And like I said, I have to keep going back to 2019 when people so are we looking for some eventually, Aaron, some more people or another person is going to get killed in the downtown area if we don't do something. And we must consider that downtown is the heart of Shreveport, or it's supposed to be.
You bet.
We talk about Shreveport being a city that 50 Cent touts that's going to be a tourism city. But listen, this type of stuff that's going on right now, it's not making folks run to Shreveport. It's making folks run away from Shreveport.
Absolutely.
Alvin Oliver, President NAACP, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
Thank you, sir.
We'll talk to you again soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You brought up an interesting point a little bit earlier about this discussion downtown, and you said, you know, these troublemakers, as Alvin said, these savages that perpetrated this violence downtown over the weekend. If downtown has a large police presence and more cameras, they'll just move someplace else. Mm-hmm. That may be true, but there's something different about downtown.
Huge valid point. When we have to take care of our downtown.
We have to take care of downtown.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
There should be a higher standard. There's a higher risk factor in something happening when it's downtown, and it's a higher profile.
Yes, but there's a real valid point from the Tim Hucks of the world and the Shalette Holdens of the world who own clubs down there, who say you're going to come in and shut us down at 2, when just a block away, the casino bars can stay open
24/7.
All they want. They can. That's their decision whether they want to stay open. How fair is that? You've got these out-of-town owners come in, and because they have a casino, they can run their bars 24/7. But local owners, you're going to make us shut
but
down
at
2.
But then you can say, well, okay, why can't we have slots? The casinos have
you
slots.
You bet. Yes, exactly.
Casinos have poker mm-hmm. and gambling. Why can't we have slot?
And that's the thing. That's what you
it's
have
It's a different
to say.
Animal.
It's a different animal, and that's in all those bars at the casinos are in enclosed settings where the music from those bars doesn't feed out onto the street. The people from those bars don't feed out onto the street typically. So it's a different animal.
And owners of casinos generally don't let this foolishness go on their property.
Oh, you act a fool in a casino bar. See how far you stay. See how far
exactly.
you get tossed. You're going to get tossed immediately.
There is zero tolerance of yeah. this kind of behavior inside a casino because they're not going to let something happen that's oh. going to damage their business.
I have watched many a drunk get tossed from a casino. They haul them out. They stop the game,
you're
whatever
gone.
We're playing. Security comes over, two guys, two women, whoever, grab the guy by the arms, you're out. And if he causes a problem, then the popo's called, and you're going to the hooscow. So they don't tolerate it.
Right.
They are. You're absolutely right. It's going to be an interesting council meeting this morning at 10 o'clock.
And it
we'll
comes
see.
Down to consequences to actions. And some of the messages on the Shreveport Security Systems message board, these people have no fear of consequences for mm-hmm. their actions.
Yeah.
They know they're being recorded.
Right.
There's no attempt to hide faces, to hide or alter behavior.
Yeah.
When you're kicking somebody in the head and you know you're being recorded.
Right. And if we have city council members or parish commissioners or whoever who are buddies with these bar owners and they're not holding them accountable, it's time. It's time to sit down with your friend and go, this is not acceptable. You're now a problem. I love you. You're my buddy. But you're now a problem. And you got to help us fix it. And I'm just going to put that out there.
I don't see that happening.
I hope we rise above it. I hope we do. Downtown needs it. We need leaders.
There's a lot we should have risen above and
yeah.
haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Special city council meeting today, mm-hmm. 10 a.m., special called meeting to address this very issue. Cedric Glover going to join us after the news, top of the hour. He's the director of the Downtown Development Authority. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You don't see Fozier with these kind of problems. That's a comment, by the way, on the message board. That's not me personally.
Got a text, too, about police pay, saying it would cost us at least $11 million to get pay up to where it needs to be. Average pay in Shreveport Police, according to this statement I just got, is about $58,000, where the average pay in Dallas...
that's surprising to me.
Yep, average pay in Dallas is $80,000.
But we can't expect to match Dallas. They've got five times the population that we do.
Right. Yeah, they have. But the problem is our city limits is so wide.
Right.
Shreveport city limits is bigger than Detroit. I mean, Greg's done a ton of research on that. In the grand scheme of big cities, we have more area for police to cover.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of our huge problems is we are so sprawled that you know, when you're 158 officers short, how do you cover everything? Now, I know the sheriff's office has stepped in to cover some of the outer areas. I don't know if that agreement is still in place. I'm sure it probably is. But it's just...
Yeah, when you look at going from North Shreveport down past LSUS.
You bet.
That's all within the city limits.
Ellerby Road, all that out
right
there. That's a long way.
It's a large area.
It's a lot of police officers. Now, I know you don't have to have police officers rolling in some of those neighborhoods. They don't need to be out at, you know, Southern Trace rolling around. But you're going to have a call or two out there that comes in that you got to get to. They're in the city. They deserve the same, you know, treatment as everybody else. But someone else mentioned, we know our hot spots. We need to be sure at least somebody at the crime center is watching those hot spots. That should be your job if you're in the real-time crime center. You're watching these 5 or 8 or 10 hot spots on a regular basis on those cameras. And if you see crowds starting to build, you send out the warning sign.
Well, and that was my question on this Fight Downtown Friday night. Don't we have cameras downtown?
There are. They're all over the place.
Did we not see this brewing?
We had to. Somebody had to see this brewing. And you know of that crowd, I know most of them look like they're filming it, but you know others were calling the police. You know there were others, I hope, please, I hope and pray there were other good Samaritans.
There were cars trying to move their way through this.
You know they were calling 911.
I wonder
how many calls to 911 came in Friday night. I'd love to know that. How many calls came into 911 Friday night about this incident? I may ask for that.
Let's find out.
You bet.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Okay, I did laugh.
All right.
Over the weekend, we talked last week, World Series, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What did I say?
They're going to go to a Game 7. Which they did. A fantastic Game 7,
okay,
by the way.
Okay.
Extra innings. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Who won? Do you know?
Shazam. The Dodgers.
Okay. Just checking.
The Los Angeles woke Dodgers.
Two in a row now, right? This is a repeat for them,
I think. Right.
So I was hoping Toronto would win. I don't know.
Really? They're not even America.
Well.
It's baseball.
Well,
Apple pie. Shut up.
I was watching I think it's Netflix.
Get calls about that. I heard it. Shut up.
They did a Netflix special, a documentary on what happened to the Montreal Expos and how that team had been through, all kinds of ownership messes and skirmishes and all that. And finally was bought and moved to D.C., I think. I may be wrong about that. And I thought, and that team in 95 or 96, was on the verge of winning a World Series. They were going to meet, I think it was going to be Atlanta in the World Series, and then the strike happened. So imagine you're on the cusp of winning the first ever World Series for Canada, and boom, the strike hits, the World Series gets canceled. So and I thought, that's a shame. So maybe it was time for a Canadian team to win, but it didn't happen. They look good. They did. They look sharp. Toronto is a good squad. But, man, the Dodgers are stacked. Stacked. Anyway. And I did watch a little of it.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
The only part I saw was We were out. We went to Dallas over the weekend to go spend some time with our daughter. And it was on in one of the restaurants that we were in, like, I don't know, Friday. What is it, Saturday night?
What happened to baseball? Why don't we care about baseball anymore? Too slow?
Oh, I don't know that it's baseball other than professional sports in general. Look at the NFL. Look at what's happened with the NFL.
Yeah.
You have...
But baseball didn't go woke. I don't think. Not that I know of.
Yeah.
But we just lost interest in it. I mean, the ratings are not good anymore. It's, you know, I guess for the World Series, the ratings take a little spike, but people are not as passionate about their baseball teams as we used to be.
Well, when you play 8,000 games in a season, it's hard to get fired up. Personally, mm-hmm. to me, it's hard to get fired up over somebody, oh, we lost today. Well,
right.
you got 18 more games in this series with this same team. You're going to be fine.
And they put a pitch clock in, I think. And it is in the major leagues now, isn't it, officially? I'm not sure. I know they were testing it. And they thought that would help speed up the games, but it's just still slow. And, you know, I watch my NFL football games on fast forward. That's how we act these days. It's so sad. The NFL games now have highlight buttons. You can press the highlight button and watch the game from highlight to highlight. You don't have to watch the whole games anymore. You can just watch each. If you've got a 20-yard or more pass or run, that's part of the highlights, and it forwards to each highlight. It's so cool. But it's sad, too, to me. I don't watch the whole game anymore.
But then, okay, true baseball fans will go, you're missing the essence and the nuances of the game.
Absolutely.
You're missing the pitcher, what the pitcher is doing and what the coaches are calling. And,
yep.
and you're missing all of that, which a lot of people don't even get, period. If you're casually watching the game,
right.
you're missing really, because there is a lot going on.
How many curveballs are we throwing? How many sliders? You know, how many fastballs? I know there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
And how you're pitching lefties to righties.
Exactly.
There's a lot to it. And I do know a lot about baseball. Don't get me wrong. But it's just so slow, And
it's like golf. It doesn't really lend itself to a television audience.
No, it does not. Now, to be in the stands at a baseball game is awesome.
And to me, hockey's the same way. We didn't grow up, first of all, you were born in Shreveport, Louisiana. You don't grow up watching or being a hockey fan.
Right.
As a general rule.
Yes.
But when the Mudbugs first got here,
and I
remember walking up to my first Mudbugs game going, oh my gosh, this is awesome.
I will never forget.
So much fun.
And Scott Musket, God bless him, my kids would go when they were little, and we would get right up against the glass. And Muskie was a player at the time.
Yes.
And he would skate around, and he'd put his hands on the glass to give my boys a high five. And they remember that to this day.
Sure.
They remember when Muskie gave him a high five on the glass, you know. And I think that's the kind of player, that's the kind of athlete that makes a lifelong fan.
It's why he's beloved to this day.
You bet. Absolutely. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. They love that man.
DDA Director Cedric Glover joining us after the news, top of the hour, telling us he released a statement about Friday night. We'll talk with him. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Be sure to download the free Keel app.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
A lot of questions about where were the police? Where were the police?
Mm-hmm.
Friday night. And when you watch the video, you can see it on keelnews.com, by the way. It does seem like an inordinate amount of time. The video is real-time video that somebody took, and the fighting seems to go on for a long time. I got a text from Shreveport Police spokesperson Chris Bordelon that said, officers arrived on the scene within 3 minutes and 30 seconds of the first punch being thrown.
Okay.
The incident was captured on RRTC cameras. The first emergency call was received approximately 1 minute after the altercation began, making our response time to the call roughly 2 minutes and 35 seconds.
That's good. That's fast. But were they already downtown? How many were already downtown is what we want to know.
Didn't the mayor said
there were
Shreveport police and state police downtown?
Were they over on Commerce Street? Were they in the Red River District? You know, where were they at the time? And maybe they just circle the blocks, and I understand that, and they get. But when you start seeing that crowd start to gather and start to grow, and I don't know policing, so do you get out of your car and start walking into the crowd? That could be dangerous. Do you pull the police car up just right in front of them, and then do they start dispersing? I gathered probably not. Because these days, they're not scared of police.
Well, and that was my, as I was watching the video for the first time, and then you began to hear sirens, I thought, okay, now they're going to scatter. They didn't.
No.
There was no fear of the police.
They're not. They know it's tough to catch them. But I know the good thing is the police have a lot of video. They're going to be able to find a lot of these scallywags. But are they going to stay in jail at all? No. They're going to be booked for disturbing the peace, maybe battery for some of them.
If you kick somebody in the head when they're on the ground unconscious, though, Aaron, that's a much more serious charge.
That could
becomes
be an attempted
aggravated
murder. Well, aggravated, is it really? You don't have a weapon.
Well, yeah. That becomes an aggravated assault.
Okay. Interesting.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Somebody correct
Chris,
us.
Chris, let me know if I'm wrong.
I just think it at some point it rises to the level of attempted murder. If somebody's unconscious and you kick them in the back of the head for crying out loud, what kind of beast are you? What? Well, seriously?
I know. I agree.
If that was your child and then you watch them do that, you have raised a beast. And something needs to be done with that person. That's an animal. That's not a human. Animals don't even act that bad.
No, animals don't even act like this. In the wild, we see these savage videos on National Geographic, but that's because they're eating to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they're pissed off because somebody cut them off in traffic or bumped
right
into them.
What do you expect the council to do today?
That's very interesting.
I'm kind of curious. More lip service or action? We'll see.
Micah McCarty, Cedric Glover joining us after the news, top of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app, Micah McCarty. And on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Director of the Downtown Development Authority, former Mayor Cedric Glover joining us. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Thank you for jumping on with us. You released a statement yesterday. Basically, you are going to increase the reward for any of these people. Tell us about the statement you released yesterday.
Well, we want to, first of all, let the folks that we're teamed with, the Shreveport Police Department, all of the other public safety folks involved, know just how much we appreciate the unprecedented cooperation that we're seeing downtown right now. We're getting out of our silos. We met as recent as last Wednesday to talk about the upcoming weekend. You've got the DDA working with the police, working with Oak Connections, working with CADA's Mobile Crisis Center, and just an interconnected network of folks who all realize that we're all in this together. And so in light of what happened over the weekend, we wanted to make it clear that downtown is everyone's neighborhood, no matter where you're from in this city or region. It's the common ground that we all share. That makes it a special place. And so in light of what transpired, we want to send a special and specific message that if you come to our common ground, our common neighborhood, that there's an expectation that you behave yourself. And if you don't, there's a price to pay.
Mayor, we had an incident back in the spring where there were people killed downtown in front of a local club. And you guys all got together and issued a statement then saying that, and I'm quoting now, additional officers will now be stationed in two critical areas from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. The patrols are meant to increase visibility, deter criminal activity, and provide a sense of security. Was that just temporary, or are we still doing that?
Well, you need to be aware that for this particular weekend, and that's part of the reason as to why, in terms of the planning and the lead up to all of this, the expectation was that that 200 block of Texas Street would not be an area of focus or priority because the two most popular establishments in that location were closed and not open. And so there was no direct activity coming from them. One recently experienced a fire, and simply the other did not have an event for that night. Now, had they been open, then you would have seen in the case of Hayes, there would have been the retaining of those two police cars at the club owner's expense to be stationed in that area. But those establishments were closed Halloween night this past weekend, and so the expectation that you would end up seeing any sort of significant activity gathering in that area was unexpected and unanticipated. The folks who you saw involved in this incident did not come from any establishment within the 200 block of Texas Street. They came from other areas of downtown. And so you had assets deployed in places where you thought the potential problems would develop. When they did develop, then you saw, as Chris Bordelon has detailed, an effective response that came from SPD.
Are we doing as good a job as we can with someone at the real-time crime center monitoring those cameras and looking to see when a crowd is starting to build and sending in help? Can we do a better job there?
Well, those are discussions that we had as recent as last Wednesday, talking specifically about the need, especially during specific hours, that we end up with someone, because right now you have, I think, 2 to 3 people who are manning the entirety of the city at the real-time crime center. We believe, based on those discussions, that it would be wise to be able to figure out how on Friday nights, Saturday nights, and other events and occasions where we know there's going to be a high crowd, potential for a high crowd, that we end up with a dedicated staff person whose only job is specifically looking at and patrolling and being aware of those things that happen within the central district.
City Council Mayor Cedric Glover has called a special meeting for today, 10 a.m. this morning. I know you'll be in attendance. What do you expect to be discussed there? What do you expect to happen from this?
Well, we're going to encourage them to be solution-oriented. I mean, everybody can identify what the problems are. Our focus is going to be how do we get to the solutions, and also how do we try and stay away from the hyperbole, because, you know, there is a lot of wonderful, positive, potential-filled things that are happening within our downtown. Mm-hmm. And while we know that, you know, we have to be always right if we want to keep these things from ever happening, it only takes one particular instance for something to happen of this nature for it to end up basically casting a whole lot of positive things that are happening throughout the width and breadth of downtown. I mean, the Capri Theater is back open, I mean, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got $110 million state investment that's taking place. We've got, you know, an out-of-town mogul who wants to come and invest in our downtown. So, I mean, there are lots of positive things that are happening. We need to stay focused on that. We're going to be solution-focused. We're going to be truthful and transparent in terms of saying, you know, there's probably a resource deficit that at some point there needs to be a serious conversation about. If we actually expect to be able to address the problem, it's kind of like playing football. You can't continue to send out inferior athletes against great athletes and expect to win. So at some point, we know that there's some serious discussions that need to take place about staffing, about manpower, and what have you, that we've got to be solution-focused and just simply not continue to point fingers.
Okay, was that a Saints reference? Just wondering.
That hurt. But, yeah.
you're talking to a Cowboys fan who just saw his Cowboys lose to the Cardinals last night. So.
Not a good night.
Cedric, the mayor, when he spoke to us earlier, said he kind of floated the idea of going back to closing the bars and establishments at 2 a.m. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm not sure, you know, given the nature of our entertainment district right now, and in fact, you know, if you want to point a finger at the person who's responsible for that, it's yours truly. as a city council member back in the 90s when the riverboats came, and the arguments that came from Randy Davids and other folks in the Riverfront and Merchants Association was that if the boats are open 24 hours a day, at least give us a chance to be able to compete and connect. One of the things that we discovered with that was that in terms of that 24-hour work cycle, one of the most popular times were for those folks getting off the late shift at the boats, that you ended up with those folks coming in at hours that ended up being in the middle of the morning, and that was kind of their happy hour for the day. So, you know, I think that's something that's worth additional discussion. Nothing at this point needs to be off the table. So we'll engage that discussion, hopefully give it a historic perspective in terms of how we got to this point and try and figure out what's best to do going forward.
There's lots of comments on my message board, so I'm going to have to ask you. Sometimes the bar owners sit on your DDA board. I believe there may be one now. And some of the bars that they own may be a part of the problem and that they should be held more accountable. How do you feel about that? Are they responsible for what's happening outside of their bars, or should they be?
I mean, I think both of those folks have been very proactive in addressing the issues that have been a part of downtown. You know, one's no longer on the board. One still is. As I mentioned, that particular establishment was not open this past weekend. Since March of this year, anytime they are open, they are paying for at their expense. Two uniformed police officers with vehicles to be stationed in front. And had they been opened on Halloween night, which we maybe should have hoped that they were, then those vehicles would have been there. And so, again, I know it's easy to point fingers, and it's always convenient to do so, but we're going to do so from an informed perspective and not just simply what we believe or perceive.
Now, this is not your first rodeo. As mayor, you know these crowds often, okay, you beef up forces downtown. All right, they're going to the Frisbee Golf Course. They're going to Ford Park. They're going to move. This is a citywide problem when you have a group of kids who are looking for something to do, and then they act out. They cause problems.
Well, these aren't all just kids something to do.
You're absolutely right. But
not only are they all not kids, one of the things that we discovered, especially back in the Greenwood Juella days, or Crenshaw and Slauson, as they called it, mm-hmm. was that the vast majority of them were folks who were not even from the city of Shreveport.
Oh.
They're people who come to Shreveport from the outlying areas where they can't do or certainly don't feel comfortable doing the kinds of things that they come to Shreveport and do. And so that was one of the reasons as to why, you know, we felt the willingness to be able to set a high standard, because the last thing that we want are folks who are not a part of this community coming here and viewing it as the place where they can let their head down and do the kind of things that would not be acceptable in their home communities. And so if it's not acceptable where you're from, then it's not acceptable to come and do in the city of Shreveport.
Cedric, can you hold with us for just a moment? Because I've got another question I want to ask, but we got to take a break. Uh-huh. We got the DDA Director Cedric Glover, Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. 710 Keel.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
DDA Director Cedric Glover on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Micah McCarty. Cedric, we know Curtis Jackson in the past has said he hates the Ratchet City moniker. He wants Shreveport to change their attitude. Have you heard from him or any of his people about this, about what's going on with his huge investment in downtown Shreveport?
Not specifically, but as you've seen in one of the local newspapers, that he's continuing to move forward with his vision for Commerce Street, with for the Dome. Obviously, we're working in conjunction with the city to address the challenges with the flooding at the studio, and then focused on the initial efforts that will end up coming out of the former stage work. So obviously this is nothing that he would want to see happening in the midst of these types of investments. It's one of the things that's going to have to be a mantra that makes its way all the way down to every element and level within this community, that if you want to see positive things happening in Shreveport in general, and downtown in particular, then these things are going to have to be just simply unacceptable. We're going to set that standard, and if you engage in it, then we're going to find some place to put you that's not with the rest of us.
Now, if he got involved in something like this, would he have an impact within that community?
Well, you know, I think the one thing that is obviously a true statement that for a man who comes from the areas of New York where he is from and the life that he's led and the things that he's been involved in as a younger man and the full circle that his life has made, he knows how to speak with and connect with people at every level. Obviously, he knows how to discuss finance with the best, but he also understands how to discuss neighborhood beef with individuals as well, and how to be able to effectively and proactively engage and resolve those things. And so, you know, that's a welcome element that we look to being able to mobilize as a part of this effort. And, you know, and it's going to be a message that's going to be direct. And you've got a lot of the young people within this community who understand and see this as well, and don't agree and support that which happened. They see it to be an absolute threat to the potential that's unfolding within downtown, and we're going to be encouraging and enlisting them to work with us to help us figure out how to, you know, completely address and consistently address the problem as well.
What do you say, Cedric Glover, to the folks who say repeatedly, this would never happen in Bossier? Bossier would not tolerate this kind of behavior. What's the difference? Why is it not tolerated there, but somehow it happens here?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's a different history in terms of understanding that you also have to be professional and respectful, and the idea that you go back to. I mean, what do you hear most often, Aaron, when people want to address these types of things? I remember back in my years as a council member and dealing with the things that were going on in the 80s and the 90s, my tenure as mayor, you know, you have people in this community who want to go back to a day and a time when you had folks like George Dortois who could go and get on a horse and ride into neighborhoods with people who were unlike them and simply do things that did not respect the law or rights or our standing as citizens. And so for those folks who believe that that's the way that you address these types of issues and challenges, we're just simply going to disagree because we don't think that that's the way in which you build an effective community.
Cedric, you made a comment a moment ago that said these clubs were closed. Why were dozens and dozens of people downtown on the sidewalks around these businesses if they weren't even open?
Well, now, Mike, that's a question you have to ask them. But certainly the 1010 had a fire and Hayes was not open.
Interesting.
It appears the Red River District is attractive for folks who...
But now also understand, you do have other clubs within the downtown area beyond those two within the 200 block of Texas Street. And so those individuals may have been there any other number of places throughout the downtown area, or because it was Halloween night, they just may have simply been assembling in downtown with the expectation that this would be the happening place to be.
In our last minute, if you could give the council three things they could do today in their meeting to address this, what three things would you tell them?
The things I want to speak to the council about are probably things I need to share with them directly and not via the radio.
Okay.
You know, having been in that position and as mayor and as a representative of what have you, you know, we don't want to end up pontificating for them. We want to work with them.
We will be watching. It's 10 o'clock this morning, correct?
Absolutely.
Thank you, former Mayor Cedric Glover, DDA Director. Appreciate your time.
Thank you all so much for the time.
Thank you. Alvin Oliver, president of the local NAACP, spoke with us earlier this morning. Hear what he has to say in his take on this coming up in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
By the way, we haven't even mentioned that a former vice president of the United States passed away.
Rest in peace, Dick Cheney. The news broke early this morning that he has died. Haven't seen the cause or anything, but I saw. Yeah, I'm not going to speculate, but he was vice president under George Bush and George W. Bush,
yeah.
And a long political career. I mean, long, long time politician in our country. So rest in peace to Dick Cheney.
Nothing against him. I thought he had already passed away.
Did you really?
Yeah. I was like, didn't he already? No, I guess not.
It's not. Yeah, I guess not. Saw that breaking this morning and I thought, ah, that's sad. It really is sad. And I'm sure they'll have a big, you know, I like watching those funerals when we have high dignitaries die. I like to see who's going to be there, you know, and who's not going to show up. And it'll be interesting whether Trump shows up for this one, because he's been very critical of Liz Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
And because she was in charge of the January 6th committee that essentially went after Trump. So don't think Trump will be at this funeral. I'm sure the Cheney family will say no.
Prime time trial drama show. That was the biggest freaking. Never mind. I'm not getting into that on discussion on her father's.
I'd take
passing.
Odds that Trump's not at this funeral. I'd be shocked if he was. We'll see. We shall see.
Doesn't affect my world one way or the other.
Yeah, I know.
Quite frankly.
I know.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
And on the free Keel app, Micah McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline this morning. President of the local NAACP, Alvin Oliver, joining us. Alvin, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Thanks for jumping on here on the line with us this morning. We're, of course, talking about the violence and the brawl that took place in downtown Shreveport Friday night, Halloween night, early into Saturday morning. Alvin, obviously, everybody agrees this has got to stop. What can police do?
Well, Mike, let me start off by saying this. I want to be clear about this, and I don't care who owns a club or anything else downtown, but I want to preface my commentary by saying no friendships, no business connections, or position of influence should outweigh the community safety. Let's start there. My question about the police is...
And I don't disagree with you at all on mm-hmm. that.
Absolutely. You say that police were present. Well, where were they? I didn't see them on the videos at all.
And that's what I asked the mayor, because that video that's posted was over 4 minutes of real-time unedited video. And
absolutely.
That was a long time for police response, especially if they were already posted downtown.
Absolutely. And so we spend millions of dollars. You know, as you know, we've had the police chief on our show. We've had the mayor on our show. And we talk about how they've spent millions of dollars on the real-time crime center cameras. Well, my question would be, why aren't the real-time crime center cameras located in the same exact block of these clubs? Let me remind you all of something. I don't know if you remember this, Mike and Aaron, but back in 2019, if you remember, three people were shot. Two people were killed right there in front of the Royalty Bar. It was a friend of mine, Legereus Baines. The young man was shot in the head. He turned around. He died. Jasmine Walters, she was shot in the neck. She died. And then another unnamed person was also shot right there in 2019 in the second week of June in front of the Royalty Bar. And so here we are a few years later, and the question needs to be asked, what's changed? Has it gotten better?
Alvin, no. let me interrupt you and say we all want police to do better. We want the real-time crime center folks to monitor this closely. But the folks that are doing this, that I think you used the word savages, perhaps I'm wrong, they got to stop this kind of behavior. We cannot tolerate this kind of behavior. And how do you stop that? That's the big question.
Well, and to answer that, let me say this. You know, we've heard so many people say we don't need the National Guard in here, right?
And to some degree, I agree. But we can't. The way we can use the National Guard is we use them in areas to free up police where there's less crime. If we use the National Guard to post them in locations where there's not much crime, we free up police to put them downtown or in areas where there is a lot of
crime. But you know, just like I do, Alvin, that if you put a ton of cops downtown and you keep watching this area, the folks that want to act out and do this stupid behavior, they will move to the Stoner area on the Clyde Fant Parkway. They'll move to Ford
Absolutely.
Park. They will find a place.
Yeah.
We got to stop this behavior somehow.
We definitely got to stop the behavior. And I must say this. I don't want to offend any of our leadership. But, hey, I have to tell the truth. If you folks can't get the job done, and that means the mayor, the police chief, the DDA, whomever, listen, you need to put a fresh set of eyes and a fresh set of legs on this thing, and y'all go on to the house, and let's put some people in these positions who can get this job done. Because the bottom line is, not only are the citizens being afraid to be downtown, what about our stakeholders?
Mm-hmm.
Clubs are weekend venues, right? Clubs aren't the main stakeholders of downtown.
No.
We got to think about the long-term stakeholders of downtown who are being scared away, who are being frightened away. I won't go downtown on the weekends anymore. And here's one of my biggest questions. Everybody talks about 50 Cent coming to town. Well, 50 Cent is probably one of the biggest stakeholders now of downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Do you all think 50 Cent would appreciate what's going on? I'd venture to say he wouldn't.
So what do you think about the idea that the bars downtown need to now start closing at 2 a.m.? The mayor mentioned that. Others have mentioned it. What do you think about that?
Totally 100% agree. Why are you out beyond 2 a.m. anyway? There's nothing there's nothing that should be going on after 2 a.m. other than some sleep. And so I definitely agree with closing these places. And also, I heard Tim Huck on, I think, yesterday, and he talked about the fire marshal. And so there's a capacity limit to this place. So what's going on with the capacity? And as you all know, it was just 2 weeks ago now that my niece got knocked out up under the bridge. And so, by some guy. And so I'm not holding club owners responsible for that. Some of them feel that once you get outside of their club, that releases you from liability. Listen, you have a responsibility not only inside your club, but outside your club and to a certain perimeter around your club. You have a responsibility to the safety of the people that frequent your club and the people that's outside your club. And so we need more accountability from our city council. I'm going to be there this morning to hear what they're going to say. I want to know what the DDA is going to say.
Cedric Glover's going to join us after 8 o'clock this morning.
Well, wonderful news. I'd like to hear what the former mayor is going to say about it. And more importantly, I want to know what's going to be done about it. We've done enough talking. And since 2019, since those folks were killed in front of that same place, what's been done downtown to make downtown better? As I see it, downtown is not getting better. It's getting more dangerous.
We're talking with Alvin Oliver, NAACP president in Shreveport. Alvin, I agree with everything you're saying,
sure.
But what do officials do? We say we've got to do something. What are your suggestions to change this behavior?
Well, like you just said, first of all, let's start holding club owners accountable. Let's start being more transparent, city council members. Let's be more transparent. Let's hold club owners accountable. Let's hold our police accountable. Let's get these police in place. Let's hold these, as we say, savages accountable. Because if you out here kicking somebody upside their head like you punting a football, to me, you are a savage. And you should be locked up and arrested immediately. And the more sad part about it, you see women out here kicking people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is ridiculousness. This is lawlessness. And we need to stop it. And we need to stop it right now. If this were somebody like a Tim Huck or some of the other club owners downtown, this stuff would not be going on. So I go back to my first statement. Friendships, business connections, positions of influence should not outweigh the safety of the citizens of Shreveport.
Should these club owners that these crowds are gathering in front of, should they be facing fines?
What, repeat that question to me.
Should these club owners, where the crowds are gathering in front and these fights are happening, should these clubs be facing fines?
Absolutely, they should face fines, and they should face some type of sanction. Because if you don't do something, if you don't give them a fine, if you don't give them a sanction, what's the motivation for them to make it better?
Interesting. Should be a good meeting today. We're looking forward to seeing what the council's going to do. I worry that, yeah, you can do everything you want for downtown. Crowd's just going to move somewhere else. You're chasing your tail.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do. Is it going to be more rhetoric, or are we going to actually see something being done this time around? Mm-hmm. And like I said, I have to keep going back to 2019 when people are, so are we looking for some, eventually, Aaron, some more people or another person is going to get killed in the downtown area if we don't do something. And we must consider that downtown is the heart of Shreveport, or it's supposed to be.
You bet.
We talk about Shreveport being a city that 50 Cent touts that's going to be a tourism city. But listen, this type of stuff that's going on right now, it's not making folks run to Shreveport. It's making folks run away from Shreveport.
Absolutely.
Alvin Oliver, President NAACP, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
Thank you, sir.
We'll talk to you again soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Can I put you on the spot? You mind? You mind?
What's new?
Let's say Jeff, your buddy. You're on the city council, and your buddy Jeff owns a downtown club.
He owns if you're talking about Jeff Luce?
Yeah.
He owns a business downtown.
Okay, but let's say he owns a nightclub downtown.
Well, they used to. He owns the building still.
Okay.
A nightclub.
I'm putting you on the spot. He
owns
a nightclub.
Because we're being hypothetical.
Yes. You're on the city council.
Okay.
You're one of your best buddies owns a nightclub down there.
Okay, right.
Crowds keep gathering at his nightclub. You know, all the time there's crowds outside his business causing trouble, causing problems. And then some nights they're fighting and police are called right outside his business.
Mm-hmm.
You're in charge of making sure that downtown is safe. That's your job. You're on the city council.
Okay.
You might even be the chairman of the city council. And you've got to take care of making sure that our community is safe. But your best buddy's business might be part of the problem. What do you do? What do you do?
You're comparing apples and oranges.
Wouldn't you say to Jeff?
I absolutely would.
Hey, buddy.
I can't cover this.
You're part of the problem. I can't help you with this anymore.
I absolutely would.
Because, see, that's part of this intertwined stuff that's going on. And I understand people that are in politics have friends. They have friends that own businesses, and I get that. And you try to help your friends when you can. I understand that.
Sure.
But there's a line when your friends, what they're doing is could be causing a problem, could be contributing to the problem. And you need to say, you don't need to hold these kind of events that are attracting the crowds that we don't want to attract in downtown Shreveport. You got to stand up as a leader at some point and say that.
But now my question, I didn't realize, were some of these clubs closed?
That's what we're told. But brochures went out Halloween week about events maybe the prior weekend, and people maybe didn't see the small print about the date was October 25th or whatever the date was, and so they assumed it's a Halloween party.
Because Oween was in the name.
Yes. It talked about some sort of Halloween event.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have assumed it was a Halloween night party.
Sure, which would be Friday night at a club.
Which is great for Halloween to be on a Friday night.
Right.
And, there comes a point between friendships and causing problems, and you need to have a heart to heart with your friend and say, look, you can do better. You can have a better business. You can attract a higher quality clientele.
But what would that business owner do differently?
It's a good question. That's a good question. Maybe they have a security outside their business and tell people to disperse. But again,
but see, I asked the mayor about that.
I have a right to be on that sidewalk.
Dispersing people.
I have a right to be there.
You don't have a right to loiter, though.
It's public property. People are sleeping down there, Mike. They're sleeping on benches down there. They're leaving their trash. They're pooping in alleys. I could edit that out, Ruben. But you know what I mean? There's some things you can and can't do.
I think you just made my case. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you got a point.
Busy day tomorrow. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser going to be joining us tomorrow. We've also got, we're going to go over the big day today.
You bet.
Big day today. Election day across the country.
Mm-hmm.
A communist probably about to be elected mayor of the largest city in the country.
You heard right.
A Muslim communist.
Mm.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.